It really is great to see everyone here this morning. Appreciate your being with us. It's always good to be able to come together and study God's Word. I'm really enthused about our Vacation Bible School. It's always uplifting and always sort of a revival to the church here. And I just hope and pray that it'll continue to be that this week and that things will continue to go well with us. And bring your kids and be here as adults. We got classes for every age. It doesn't make any difference whether you're 2 months old or if you are right at 100, we got a class for you. So anywhere in between. So just be here if you possibly can at all. Let me just say, first of all, personal note, I want to say thank you very much to so many of you who called and checked on me and sent text messages and other things to after I had my shoulder surgery. And many of you have asked me about it every time you've seen me. And I took my brace off because it gets in my way preaching, but I've got it down here and I'll put it on after a while. It is progressing as it should, I think. It is torture when I go to therapy, but they say that's necessary and they pay therapists by how much they hurt you, so they're making a lot of money off of me. But it is, and I appreciate so much everybody. Many of you brought food and gift cards and some more food and another gift card and some more food. And I appreciate it. I've put on about 7 pounds, I think, since I had my surgery. So, but it's been wonderful the way everybody's responded. And I do appreciate it. And I want to just say thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's always good to be able to just be with you. I love you so much. And it's so very meaningful to be a part of the church here at Ephesus. I'd like for us to continue our study, as we've tried to do at least one lesson a month, talking about building godly homes. And this morning is going to be a little bit different than what you might expect, because I want to talk about homeschooling. And as we talk about building godly homes and talk about homeschooling, and first of all, I want to look at some of the advantages of homeschooling. You can control what's taught. And that's one of the biggest advantages of homeschooling, is that you are able to control what's taught, and if you do it properly, then you also include Bible as one of a part of the curriculum, and you include lessons on the importance of understanding that the Bible is in fact the Word of God. And of course, in our public school system, they're not allowed to do that, or at least they're not supposed to. I know some teachers that do it anyway, but they're not really supposed to be doing that. Also, along with that, you teach creation as opposed to evolution, which again is a wonderful thing, because our public schools are teaching the false teaching of evolution and lead so many young people astray in the process, as though it were fact, when in fact it is not fact. Everything was created by God. You're able to teach your children absolute morality, where in our schools they teach that everything is relative, and there is no absolute morality because there is no God. And there is no creation, and we're just a bunch of animals. And so when you have that kind of teaching, it certainly gives a big advantage to homeschooling. You can teach Jesus as the Son of God and teach Jesus as our Savior. And so the curriculum is a big factor in the advantages of homeschooling. Not only that, you have pretty much absolute control over who your kids associate with, because you are controlling who's in your home and who's not in your home. And so this gives you a big advantage as well. And so along with that, you control whatever activities your kids are going to have. Now, that's some of the advantages. The fact is, though, there are some disadvantages. And probably one of the biggest disadvantages of homeschooling in many, many situations is the fact that most parents are not truly qualified to homeschool their kids. Now, there's a lot of them have done it and done exceedingly well. I had a brother who homeschooled his son through high school, and when he finished his high school, he was already studying like third year math, of college math, before he got there. And so, you know, there are some people that are qualified, and they've done an excellent job and done far better than what kids could receive at public school. And so, but I've also known more stories where parents tried to do it, they were not qualified, and some so bad that when the kids finished 12 years of homeschooling, they couldn't even pass a GED test or any kind of exit exam to they really had about a sixth grade education at best. And that certainly is a big disadvantage. And so it's just something that's a fact, and most parents are not qualified. Another factor that is a big disadvantage is that most parents do not have the discipline to do this and to do what has to be done when it needs to be done in the way it needs to be done. And probably the biggest disadvantage to homeschooling is a social lack of social interaction. When I was considering going off to college and I was fixing to get married right before I left to go off to college, and my daddy said, "Well, son, I'm glad you're getting married, but," he said, "I really hate that you're going to be married when you go off to college, because," he said, "half of what you learn in school, you learn in the dormitory." And there's a lot of truth to that. And social interaction is extremely important. And so sometimes you have kids that come out of homeschooling in a very intelligent way as far as academics, and yet totally lacking in any social skills. And so it is a big disadvantage. And so what's the solution? Well, the solution is you can do homeschool or you can do public school. Or in our area, you also have the opportunity for another option, and that is send your kids to a private school where you can have basically all of the advantages of homeschooling and have almost none of the disadvantages. However, I said all of that just by way of introduction because it really is not my lesson today. I just wanted to introduce it that way. But we are going to talk about homeschooling. And that's what my lesson is about, but it's about real homeschooling. It's about the homeschooling that makes a difference that every parent must be a part of. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 18, beginning there in verse 17, here the Lord has appeared to Abram, or to Abraham, and he is about to go and to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed? For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his whole household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." And I believe that based on this passage and many others in Scripture, what we find is that parents, first and foremost, the most important responsibility is that they teach their children the way of the Lord. It is the primary responsibility of parents to teach them to love God, to teach them to serve God, to teach and to encourage them to become Christians and to live faithfully for their entire life. And the fact is, whether you homeschool academically your kids, or you send them to public school, or you send them to private school, it is still the primary responsibility of the home and the parents to make sure that children are taught the way of God. And it is not something that is to be palmed off on a Sunday school program. It is not to be palmed off on a private school, nor is it to be palmed off in any other way. It is our responsibility as parents to make sure that our children are taught the way of God. In the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, there the Lord says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." And I think what he's saying here is that every part of our life needs to include God. And when we're raising our children, it should be just as natural for us to talk about God made that beautiful sunset, or God made these flowers, or God made these animals, as it is for us to talk about anything else. God should be a part of our everyday life, our everyday a conversation, and it should be recognized that God is involved in everything that we are and everything that we do. And so in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." That reminds me, I meant to say Happy Father's Day to all who are fathers. And as Donnie mentioned in his prayer, ultimately we are here for our real Father, our Father God, and we are here on His day to worship Him. But it is our responsibility as earthly fathers to train our children and to discipline them in the instruction of the Lord. And so the first and foremost responsibility of parents is to teach our children to serve God. When our son was very young, we were anticipating or discussing whether or not to send him to a private school. We lived in Florida at the time, and there was a private school that was there that was operated by members of the Church of Christ, and we wanted to perhaps send him there, and we were talking about whether we should or shouldn't or so on. And I called and talked with Brother Sewell Hall, who has always been a dear friend, sort of took my daddy's place after my daddy passed away. And I was talking with Brother Sewell about it, and I said, you know, what do you think? Should I or shouldn't? And we talked about advantages and disadvantages and so on. He said, but I'm going to tell you something, Robert. He said, children that grow up and serve God do it usually not because of where they go to school, but because of their parents. He said, if you teach them at home, then yeah, they'll be faithful. But if you don't, it doesn't matter where you send them to school, they probably won't be. And I think that he hit the nail on the head. It is our responsibility to make sure that we do that. And as grandparents, it is not our primary responsibility to teach them, and yet at the same time we have an awesome responsibility because we can reinforce what the parents are teaching. And many times, children will look up to their grandparents in a way that, and maybe even listen to them when they don't listen to mom and daddy. And so we have an advantage sometimes as grandparents, and we need to make sure that we're doing all we can to help our grandchildren grow up to serve God and to be faithful. As a side note to this, many times we as friends can sort of take a young person under our wing and mentor them and encourage them and help them when maybe even their own family cannot reach them. And so we need to be always conscious of trying to help our friends' kids as well as our own. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says to Timothy, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it's in you as well. So here we have an illustration of grandparent who had a tremendous responsibility and recognized that responsibility and passed down the teaching about God to her daughter and then also to her grandson. And so we see that grandparents have a tremendous responsibility as well. We need to start at a really early age. Paul, writing to Timothy again in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, says verse 14, 15, he says, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The wisdom of God says that we start teaching our kids when they are very, very young. They're not ever too young to hear Bible stories and to learn to sing Bible songs. And so we need to start teaching them at a very, very early age. One of the most foolish things that I've ever heard in my life, and unfortunately I've heard Christians say this, is, well, I'm going to let my kids sort of get grown, let them decide for themselves what. No, it's your job to teach them. And if you really believe in God and you really believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then it is your responsibility to teach your children about God and about Jesus Christ. Let me just back up right here and just say one other thing right quick. It sort of bothers me, I guess is probably the right word. When I hear so many people talking about they wish that prayer was back in the schools, And that's fine, and I'm not opposed to having prayer in the schools. But I'm going to tell you what the real problem is. We've got prayer missing at home. And if you're not praying with your kids at home, you can have all the prayers in school. You won't have them. It's not going to do anybody any good. You need to be teaching your children to pray at home. You need to be teaching them to study the Bible at home. You need to be teaching them about God at home and not depend on the schools to teach them any of that. Because I can assure you they're not going to do it right if they do it at all. We need to teach our children the concept of respect for authority and who that authority is. This is something that is so lacking in our world today. Kids are growing up with absolutely no respect for any authority whatsoever, and yet the whole creation of God is designed around respect for authority. Parental authority comes first, and I mean by that that kids learn that first. They learn to do what mom and dad tell them. And so parental authority does come first, and if we must teach them that, and if we're going to teach them respect for authority, we must be consistent in our discipline with them. And if we're not consistent in our discipline with our children, then it doesn't make any difference what we want them to do. They're not going to respect us. And father and mother, if we have both in the same family, and most of us do, if we have both, they must be on the same page and never allow our kids to use one against the other, or especially not for us to purposely go against the other. And so if we're going to respect authority, we must respect parental authority as parents, and then we must teach our children to respect parental authority as well. In Ephesians 6 and verses 1 through 3, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may be well with you, you may live long on the earth." And so it is absolutely necessary that we teach respect for authority, and parental authority is what comes first. But God is the ultimate authority. And as our children grow, they need to learn that the reason parents have the authority they have is because God gave it to them. The reason we have the rules we have in our home is because God made these rules. The reason we tell you this is right is because God said it's right. The reason this is wrong is because God said it's wrong. God is the ultimate authority, and we must teach our children this and teach them to respect God and the Word of God as the ultimate authority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, he says, "I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. The man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ." He's at the top of the chain. We need to understand that and realize that God is the ultimate authority. The elders have authority in the church. This is because God has given it to them. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17, he says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." And so the elders have a responsibility to rule over the church and to lead the church. And we as Christians have a responsibility to submit to them. And we need to teach our children this. And if we are constantly bad-mouthing or complaining or belittling the elders in front of our children, we are not teaching them to respect the authority of the elders. And so we need to make sure that we show respect to the elders and teach our children to do the same. We need to understand that government authority is given by God. And when we talk about government authority, I want to include in that anything that comes under the umbrella of government, which includes public schools. And so when our kids go to school, it is under the umbrella of the government that the principal holds the position that he holds and the teachers hold the positions that they hold. And so we need to recognize that this is an authority that is designated by God, and we need to teach our children to respect this authority. I grew up in the age when if a kid defied the authority of a teacher or a school administrator, and when you got home, your parents found out about it, you got punished for it again the second time, because that's just the way it was. You respected that authority no matter what. Today, parents challenge that authority on every hand, and that's wrong. It's just as wrong as it can be, and as Christians, we should never be a part of that kind of thinking or mentality. Whoa. Boy, it jumped way over. Somebody's ready for me to be through, wasn't it? If you followed all that real quick, you got the whole lesson backwards. In Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority is opposed to the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." It's amazing to me how many times it says in Scripture that we are to be subject to somebody as unto the Lord. And the reason for that is because God is the one who establishes the authority. And God is the one who tells us to be respectful to that authority. And even if we don't like maybe what somebody does or somebody, the way they act, or maybe we don't like their rules, we don't like the way they enforce the rules, the fact is we must respect their position of authority because God put them there. And it doesn't matter whether we agree with them politically or we agree with them even socially. It is our responsibility to respect their authority. It does not mean we go along with or condone sin. It just simply means we respect the authority of the position of the person that holds that position. And so we must teach our children respect for authority. We also teach them the right priorities in life. And that means that God comes first. And there's a whole list of things, and every one of us know what that list is, of things that get in the way of us serving God and putting God first. And Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, He says, don't worry about anything in this life that you're going to eat, you're going to wear, and all the things you're going to do. But rather, He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God will take care of you. We need to put God first. And yet, so many times as parents, we not only allow, but even encourage our children to have other priorities ahead of God rather than putting God first in our lives. And we must show them and teach them and enforce with them that God comes first in our family. God is first. That means we're to love God, and therefore we serve Him. Jesus was asked the question, which is the greatest commandment, in Matthew 22. And He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Jesus said the greatest commandment of all is that you love God above everything else and everyone else. And so we need to teach our children to love God, and we do that by example. You can tell your children all day long, but if they see that you love other things ahead of God, they're not going to put God first in their life. And so we must show them that God comes first, no matter what, in our family, because we love God. The second greatest commandment, He says, is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And so we love God, and therefore we serve Him. And when we truly love God, we will love others. We will love our neighbors ourselves. And so Paul concludes 1 Corinthians 13, talking about love, by saying in verse 13, now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Parents, first and foremost responsibility with their children is to teach them the way of the Lord, to teach them to love God, to teach them to serve God, and to encourage them to become Christians and to live faithfully for their entire life. This is what homeschooling is really all about. And every parent should be homeschooling their children in these things. Do you love God? Are you a Christian? If you're honest, the answer to these two questions is the same, because if you're not a Christian, you don't really love God like you should. If you really do love God, you're going to want to be a Christian and serve Him. So this morning, if you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to come to Jesus. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. And confessing your faith in Him as the Son of God, turn away from sin and be buried in baptism. Have your sins forgiven. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation